Something we've added to the Arizona Hour is something Arizona related, whether it's a history fact or a trivia fact. And the third segment is something iconic in Arizona, whether it's a structure or a person. And it's usually just something short and quick, history fact, something fun to note. Oh, hey, I didn't know that's blah, blah, blah. But Mr. Jim Harrison is joining us in studio because we need a whole segment to talk about your journey through Arizona. And an original native of Arizona.
Born here in 1939.
And you have not only hiked the Arizona Trail, which is 800 miles, but you've also hiked the Continental Divide Trail that's 3,100 miles.
That's correct. That's been a journey over 36 years, although we only hiked actually 14 years. But it's kind of a journey that never had the goal of hiking the Continental Divide. We just little pieces showed up, and we did those, and it wasn't until the very end that we actually focused on the goal of finishing the Continental Divide Trail.
And none of which that trail goes through Arizona. It's New Mexico up through Montana.
That's correct.
I don't think you can answer this question, but what's your favorite part?
Well, the Arizona Trail, of course, is special to me once for living here all my life, but it goes through so much different topography and climate areas that it's really special. But this last segment I did in 2018, which is the Bob Marshall Wilderness and Glacier, were really spectacular. And I'd never been to Glacier Park, and I'd really encourage people to go there because it is really a spectacular views, and they do it very well as far as the backcountry hiking.
So not only have you got the 800 miles in the Arizona Trail done, the 3,100 of the miles of the Continental Divide Trail. As I understand it, you're looking to rehike part of the Colorado Trail.
Well, that's right. My high school friend, Fred Fallon, he joined me in about 2007. I'd been working on the Arizona Trail and looking for somebody to hike the Arizona Trail, and I got a Christmas card where he said he had hiked Mount Whitney twice in 1 year, and I wrote him back. I guess that's probably before emails, because I remember writing him, asking him if he'd like to come. He lives in California now, if he'd like to come over and do the Arizona Trail with me. So that's where he joined me. So after we did that and finished, we said, now what are we going to do? We're having so much fun doing this. And we then agreed that we would go finish hiking the Continental Divide Trail. He now has two grandchildren that will join us, and I'll probably have a grandchild to join me. I need a driver for long distances, so I'll recruit a grandchild to help me.
And the way y'all hike the trails, you take two vehicles?
Yes, we take two vehicles, and then we jump, park them, and then hike back to one, and then jump past the other one, hike back to the other, and just keep jumping in one direction. And when we did Arizona, we did that over 2007 to 2013, and we jumped all over the state just getting segments that happened to fit our schedule.
Had a big part to do with the schedule too. You probably did Flagstaff in the summertime, and you probably did the Maricopa to Catalina stretch in the winter.
That's right. We did them in spring and fall. We didn't do any hiking in the summertime. Sometimes we would hike for a week and sometimes 2 weeks, whatever.
What do you do to prepare for that type of hiking? And how heavy is your bag when you leave for a 2 week stretch?
Here, when I'm living in Arizona, when I was working, I would get off work and I'd go over to Piastowa Peak, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but anyway.
Still Squaw Peak in my mind. Yeah. I can't get it right either.
So anyway, I would hike there in the evening, and I go to a health club in the morning and do spinning or swim, and so I do a lot of preparation. As far as the weight, at our point in life, we get the weight down as much as we can. And In sailing, they call it purchases. The more and you improve your gear every year, and you run into somebody that's got a better tent or a better sleeping bag or better being lighter weight, you incorporate that. So I did some solo segments where I would have my pack down to 18 pounds plus food and water. You get pretty thin on it.
And water being probably the most critical part of the journey. Got some very interesting stories about water collecting through the Arizona Trail.
Well, that's true. One, the stewards, and they have good stewards that you can call on the phone. It's arizonatrail.org, and that's a great website. They'll help you with where the water is. And in some cases where there's no water, they actually will stash water and that you can use. There was one segment from Parker Canyon Lake to Patagonia where I called the steward and asked him where the water was. He says, well, you go down, come off a little ridge, you come down, you hit a barbed wire fence. When you hit the wash, there's a gate. You go back up the wash 100 yards, and you dig a hole in the sand, and water will come. And sure enough, I mean, we trusted that, and water did come. So, but like I say, the stashing water through the Matazels. And then, interesting, up in, you know, like in Colorado and these other places, the trail runs right on top of the Continental Divide for many, many miles. So the water's, there's a lot of water, but it's below you. So you would, you know, you would be carrying 3 liters of water for the day because there wasn't any water up on top of the divide.
And at what elevation are you at the top of the divide in Colorado? I'd imagine a good stretch of it, you see Pike's Peak. Does it ever go over the peak of Pike?
Not Pike's Peak. That's off the Continental Divide. But Colorado is certainly the highest portion of the Continental Divide Trail. It's 11, 12. There's some areas where you're hiking at 13,000 feet. And there's some passes at 13,500. So when you get further north in Idaho and Montana, it's more in the 8,000 or 9,000 foot range. But and so Colorado is a segment that you need the snow lasts the longest, and you got to figure out the timing of your thing so you're not post-holing through the snow, which I have done.
And all the I've talked to other hikers. I've never done anything to this extent of hiking, and they say one of the most interesting things is, I mean, obviously the scenery, but they say you run into a lot of other interesting hikers along the trail as well.
Oh, yeah. The through hikers are the most interesting people we run into. And you know, they're planning to do like the whole Continental Divide over a 4 or 5 month period, either starting from south or going north. And, of course, if they start in the north, they're faced with snow there. If they start in the south, as soon as they get northern New Mexico and hit Colorado, they're faced with snow. But the last year was really interesting. Of course, we did the Bob Marshall and Glacier. So the through hikers coming south, we ran into an amazing number of female hikers, young hikers that were hiking solo. They tend, you know, before we would meet people and they would tend after, you know, a month or they would run into somebody else that hiked their same speed. They'd be hiking together. But as we were that far north, we ran into all these, you know, very impressive young ladies that were doing this on their own.
My favorite part of the story that from this article out of Aspen Times that they published about your hike was the end of the hike that you did with your friends. Recap the last 100 yards of this 3,100 mile hike.
Well, it was amazing. Actually, that segment we had 12 people on. I had my daughter and two grandchildren, my son and two grandchildren, and they both brought along two friends. So we were finishing the last segment, which was uphill. And the last little bit, Freddie and I locked arms and hit that last 20 yards together. And, of course, with this big crowd of people hooting and hollering and clapping, there were some people in the parking lot at the end, and they came over to see what the hooting and hollering was about. And when we told them, they went and found two cold beers in there. In their car and brought them over, and that was our celebration.
Now, this is, you know, I'm hoping there was at least a Coors, you know, from the Rockies, the Continental Divide. Did it all tie in perfectly?
It all tied. Well, my short-term memory is not all that good, but they were cold beers and shared by 12.
At least a Coors Light, so you could have a, you know,
some from the Rockies.
Yeah.
Well, outstanding. And when are you starting to rehike the Colorado stretch?
Well, of course, we've had a lot of snow this year. So I think late July will be best. And we'll go start again at Cumbres Pass at the border of New Mexico and Colorado. And we'll hike north through Wolf Creek and then around through the Winnemucci Wilderness and end up at Spring Creek Pass.
Well, thanks for spending a little bit of your time this Saturday morning with us to share your Arizona story. If you're out there listening and have an interesting story you'd like to share with Arizona, email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. We'll send you a questionnaire to fill out and run it through our programming team to see if it's something we put into schedule here. We love Arizona. We love the people of Arizona, and we love sharing the stories of Arizona. Mr. Jim Harrison, thanks for sharing your story.
Well, very welcome to do so, and it's my pleasure.
And another way we share the beauty of Arizona is through our staycation. It's something that Rosie thought up and dreamt up a dozen years ago, and Sanderson Ford came to bat and put it all together with us, where we send you on to some destination in Arizona. I don't think hiking the Arizona Trail will ever be a staycation destination. That might be a little too much, but we send you to areas where you could go hike little stretches of it. Occasionally, our destination will line up with the Arizona Trail. But if you'd like to register to win an Arizona staycation, go to rosieonthehouse.com/travelAZ or click on the staycation tab. In the next segment, we actually have the winner of the March staycation who stayed at the Flying E Ranch in Wickenburg is going to join us on the line to talk to us about their first experience at an Arizona dude ranch. It's one of three dude ranches in Wickenburg that are part of the Dude Ranch Association. There's 15 total statewide, so we'll focus on the Flying E Ranch destination site of our March staycation winner.